Radio.
Absolutely. It's morning someplace in the world right now. And I say good morning because I want everybody to wake up. And today we have three segments that we will be covering, and that will be curtains, definitions, and diamonds. And before I go any further, I want to welcome everyone to Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. And let's start out by finding out who's on the line. We have, who's on the line there?
Valerie.
Okay. Somebody else is on the line, but they're not speaking. Okay. All right. Not a problem. We're going to continue right on. And wait a minute.
Colleen.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, welcome, Colleen. Thank you for joining us. And thank you, more importantly, for introducing yourself. Walter, is that you there? Walter, is that you there?
Oh, hello. Yes. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the show. I guess I could begin, or do you doing more introductions?
Well, no more introductions. I would like for you to start out with the segment of curtains, and on
KRS-One. Can you handle that? Before I actually want to talk about that, I really wanted to do a current event that was that
Walter?
You know, I think that really needs to be talked about.
Hello? Yeah, that was my fault. Okay, KRS-One, curtains, can you start out with that first segment?
Oh, I said that first I would like to I would like to talk about before that, I'd like to talk about a current event that I've been seeing over the internet and just visualized with my eyes. And that's like, it has to do with the upcoming election, I should say, and just the hate that the movement Black Lives Matter gets. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because it's really showing me how really divided we are. And it's just not – the people who are against, I guess, Black Lives Matter, there's more people to it that you probably don't even know of, but they're behind the screen, they're behind social media, and you don't know their identity. But I've seen it, and it's crazy to me because they'll use any little thing or anything that will happen that deals with Black Lives Matter, saying it was an 8-year-old girl that was – I supposedly killed during the Black Lives Matter movement, and just how they pick out that little piece and they blame it immediately on Black lives, and they don't even care about the death. All they want to do is to see us fall and to see us crumble, and they do not care about us. And that's what – and people honestly believe these things because that's what they do. They will find anything – just to go against what we're doing to make us seem like violent people who just want to hurt others and just kill people, and that's nothing. That's not what we want to do.
Okay. All right. I have two other people on the line. 6-10-7-8. Who is that?
Yes, this is Calvin.
Oh, okay.
How are you, sir?
Well, good. Welcome.
Good.
9638. Introduce yourself. 9638. All right. I guess sometimes people don't believe they're actually on. All right. Now, with all transparency, I've been suffering over here with a little technical difficulty that I'm causing on my own, all right? I got a pair of new earbuds, just so everybody knows. And I didn't start out the show with them on, and as a result, I tried to put them on when Walter started speaking, and it just disconnected me. But as you can see, I'm back. All right. I would like, Walter, I would like for you to start with curtains, if you could.
Yes. Are you going to read the intro, and I'll go right into it?
Absolutely. Now, curtains is an exposure and analysis of artists and their work behind the curtain and the stage. You see, many recording artists and companies have grown rich from the support of the community. But this particular segment talks about what benefits the community has gained from the artist. Curtains is a review of his musical growth and history and his impact and a particular style and genius on the general moods and attitudes of the listening audience. Musical and lyrical social consciousness as presented by the artist over a period of time and music releases. Curtains serves best as an introduction to and an exploration of a particular artist and his genius and his involvement and influencing all people's style, creativity in the world today.
Yes, and for today's curtains, it is RS-1. And KRS-One, born Chris Parker, was the leader of the Boogie Down Productions, one of the most influential hardcore hip-hop outfits. He also had one of the most influential hardcore hip-hop outfits of the 80s. At the height of his career, roughly 1987 to 1990, KRS-One was known for his political and socially conscious name. Around the time of the 1990s, his audience began to slip as many fans thought his raps were becoming preachy. As a result, KRS-One began to reestablish his street credibility with harder, sparer beats and raps. After the 1997's I Got Next, he put his solo career on hiatus for several years, finally returning in early 2001 with the Sneak Attack. The following year, he brought two full releases, The Gospel Effort, Spiritual Minded, and The Mixtape. The latter included a single that stood as a response to Nelly, only the latest hip-hop figure to feud with the Blastmaster. KRS-One would then, with his efforts in 2012, came out with the BDP album, which was a nostalgia from a different angle, reuniting the rapper with the former BDP DJ Kenny Parker. And that's what I have on KRS-One. And basically, just to sum him up, he was a rapper that rapped about more political and social issues that some rappers were either afraid to do or they didn't believe in that type of rap. But he had the guts, and he was so conscious to be able to preach this in his rap and be able to entertain people at the same time, which is a good connection. And the way people just tried to take him down and just wanted him to rap about other things, but that's how he started to drop. But then he'll come back stronger than ever and keep doing what he was doing. And, you know, shout out to him, because sometimes we actually need more people in the music industry that could do that, that are able to, you know, probably rap in a, you know, more aggressive, just to get people lit. But also another way, which will give people woke and conscious about what's going on in society. If you give that mix, that will help a lot of people understand what's going on, and that could bring a lot of people, a lot of fans, and I should say.
What year were you born, Walter?
2004.
Oh, okay. So in the 80s, DJ Scott LaRock and the Boogie Down Productions, right, they got together from the Bronx and they created this group. And he evolved. But the reason why I asked you what year were you born is because when hip-hop and rap first started, it always spoke about current events and what was going on in the neighborhood. Now, sometimes it wasn't all true, but a lot of times it was. All right? Many rappers weren't afraid to talk about issues that dealt with the drugs, the violence, the things that happen in the community that are not so positive. So when we talk about the evolution of an artist and what he's done behind the curtains of the stage, he actually coined a term called edutainment, all right? So that when, and you hit it on the head, definitely he was able to infuse the commentary of social issues right into his song. And one of his nicknames is Teacher. I just wanted to add that, and I hope you don't mind, Walter.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I posted on Friends Who Like Questions Radio today, I posted a piece where he was actually talking about are there boys in mainstream media, or are there men in mainstream media? And his opinion was there are more boys in mainstream media in the hip-hop business, right, than there are men. And but you can go to Friends Who Like Quest Youth Radio on Facebook to listen to that little speech that KRS-One makes. Now, if we can, move right into the next segment, which I would like it to be definitions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm ready.
I'll read the intro for you. Definitions is a segment that provides you, the listener, with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say that we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definition controls us. We must define our existence and not have it defined for us.
Yes, and today's definition, the definition is humanity, and humanity is the human race or humans being collectively. Now, I'll read this definition, and I also see, it's just fun, the sentence. It says, appalling crimes against humanity. Now, basic. So just saying, humanity is just humans. It's humans. We're all human. We all have the same blood. Well, probably not the same blood type, but we all bleed red, you know. We're human. Just like how tigers, the tigers, like all of that, you know. And still, we just hate each other so much. And I don't understand how we could all be humans. We all have, I guess you say, like the same brain, we have the same insides, everything. We have a lot of relations, but we still just hate each other probably the most of most species than how cats hate each other more than how dolphins, like any other species you could think of, we are probably hate each other the most. And to think about that, it's all because of skin color, race, religion, all because of just a choice or an opinion. And a lot of people, they don't like opinions. Everything has to be how they like it. Nobody wants it to be opposite. Everything has to satisfy that one person. And I guess that's all I have. That's why we just can't get along, because we can't handle opinions. And people want things to be how they want it. Or they want to, instead of running something like a community, how we did thousands of years ago. We ran in tribes, communities, stuff like that, where we self-governed each other. We are ruled by political parties who enforce rules that are not always in favor of us, but more in favor of them. And that's why it's so unsuccessful in the world, and that's why so much hate, just because of the way we govern ourselves as well. You got these political parties. It's just everything's just being put in place for us to hate each other.
Wow. Why do you think I assigned that word to you?
I really don't know, you know. I guess, like, what's going on currently, you could say. This is a big reason.
I hear you saying in your subconscious, why don't you just tell me? And that's what I'll do. All right, that's exactly what I'll do, Walter. As humans, we have more in common than we do in difference. That's number one. Number two, you know, we find ourselves in our program categorizing people as black and white. And myself personally would like to get away from that, because at the end of the day, it's not black and white, it's human. If you want to categorize me any kind of way, categorize me as a human being, a person who understands, although I have differences from other people, which makes me unique, I have so many things in common with my fellow brother and sister. And that is the reason why I chose the word humanity, so that we can unify, not as a black people, not as a white people, but as human beings. Now, some people,
hold on,
for some reason. Go ahead.
Before you continue, you know, just think about it like this. You know, you have other species, right? And they don't all look the same. They're not all the same shade, not all the same color. You have dogs. There's dark dogs, light dogs. There's different colors, different pigments. And, you know, if they see each other, they're not gonna hate each other. They're not gonna want to hurt the other, kill each other. They're dogs. They're gonna want to play with each other. They communicate with each other. Just how we should. But it's not. If we see somebody with other colors, we start to judge and make stereotypes. And to try to shy away from
them. Yeah, well, sometimes I think human beings, the human species, a lot of times just overthink situations. And so I would turn on the corner of let's come together, let's be united as a people, and understand that we are human beings and we have more things in common than we do that are different. So I'm ready to move right along. We try to attack that and try to get people to understand. Now it's time for our final segment of Diamonds. Are you ready, Walter?
Give me 1 minute and I'll be ready.
Okay. And while you're taking that minute, I'm going to slowly present the introduction to Diamonds. And I'll start by talking about just mentioning the name of our diamond for today. Diamond is a history, and history is like a diamond. You see, each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Diamonds provides an historical message that interprets what's happened and suggests what can happen by providing an historical analysis. You see, only by recognizing yesterday's mistakes can we make corrections today and build a better tomorrow for all our nights to come. Because no one knows the past better than those who have had to walk in it and bear its burden. And after this particular segment, you know, maybe the elders will chime in and offer comments. Are you ready now, Walter?
Yes. And today's diamond will be Percy Sutton. And to begin, Percy Sutton was born November 24, 1920, in San Antonio, Texas, the last of 15 children born to Samuel Sutton and Lillian Sutton. His father, born during this time of slavery and an early civil rights activist, was one of the first blacks in Bexar County, Texas, and used the initials SJ, his name, for fear his name would be shortened to Sambo. Both of Percy Sutton's parents were educators, his father a principal of a segregated high school, and his mother being a full-time educator. SJ farmed, sold real estate, and owned a mattress factory, funeral home, and skating rink. Following in their footsteps, all of Sutton's siblings graduated from college. His brother included G.J. Sutton, who became the first black elected official in San Antonio, and Oliver Sutton, who became a judge on the New York Supreme Court. At the age of 12, Percy Sutton once stowed away on a passenger train to New York City, where he slept under a sign on 100th and Harlem. He'll then return home, but the following year, while passing out leaflets in all-white neighborhoods for the National Association of the Advancement of Colored People, NAACP, he was beaten by a policeman. Always a Boy Scout, Percy Sutton attained the rank of Eagle Scout in 1936 and was recognized as the Distinguished Eagle Scout Award as an adult. Sutton stated that scouting was a key factor in shaping his life. Percy Sutton attended three historically black colleges, Prairie View Agricultural and Mechanical College in Texas, the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, and Virginia's Hampton Institute, but failed to earn a degree. He did, however, learn how to fly planes, take offline in the barren storming circuit, but gave it up after a friend crashed. Later, during World War II, he served as an intelligence officer with the Tuskegee Airmen, winning combat stars in the Italian and Mediterranean theaters. Discharged with the rank of captain, Sutton went back to New York City and enrolled in college once again, this time on the GI Bill, which provided tuition aid for veterans. He entered Columbia University School of Law and supported his wife, Latrice, as dishwasher and hotel bellhop. Realizing he needed to work full-time, he transferred to Brooklyn College School of Law and took a steadier job as post office clerk. He also worked as a subway conductor for the first time, earning his law degree in 1950. Sutton became involved in the civil rights struggles down south during the 1960s. When scores of civil rights workers were arrested in 1963 and 1964 demonstrations, he and his firm defended them, and he also served as a consultant to to the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Interested in political office, he ran for and won elections in the New York State Assembly in 1964. In Albany, he became a spokesperson for the legislature 13-member Black Caucus and was instrumental in getting funding to establish the Stromberg Center Research in Black Culture in Harlem, a branch of the New York Public Library System. In 1971, Sutton co-founded the Inner City Broadcasting Corporation, which purchased New York City's WLIB-AM, one of the first African-American-owned radio stations. The Inner City Broadcasting Corporation grew to own at various times and cable franchises in Queens and Philadelphia. Mr. Sutton's principal partner in the various deals was Clarence B. Jones, a close associate of Martin Luther King. Continuing to produce the TV show, his TV shows, which grew on the Apollo, Mystique, but no longer taped at an Apollo, Percy Sutton fell into a tangled, lethal brawler with the New York State investigating members of the Apollo's Foundation Board. All were cleared of wrongdoing. However, a series of editorials on mismanagement by the Apollo Foundation earned the New York Daily News a Pulitzer Prize in 1999. In 1987, Sutton was awarded the Spingarn Medal, an award annually by the NAACP for outstanding achievement by an African American. Thank you.
Okay. Percy Sutton was actually Malcolm X's lawyer. Did you know that?
Yes, I read about that as well. I was going to mention that at the end.
Oh, okay.
I was going to get to it.
Yeah.
I was going to mention, but it's all good.
Oh, yeah, he was also a part of what they call the Gang of Four.
Yes, he was.
Charlie Rangel, Mr. Patterson, Percy Sutton, and I'm missing somebody.
The mayor.
David Dinkins, right. Thank you. Right.
And also, he was a member of the fraternity, the one and only Kappa Alpha Psi.
Say that again, Walter.
He was also a member of the one and only fraternity, Kappa Alpha Psi.
Oh, okay. You know, in today's show, I really wanted to integrate Malcolm X into the mix some kind of way. But I kind of felt that we kind of talked about him before. So that's how Percy Sutton came up. However, also.
He was both Malcolm X's attorney.
Right. I had the opportunity to meet him more than one time. And one of those times, he came to my assistance. I'm not going to say in this particular broadcast what assistance he provided, but it had everything to do with being on radio and doing what we're doing now. He was a major support for the cause. Well, anyway, Val.
Any more comments, Val?
Okay, no, that's cool.
I just commented that he was both the grandson's and the grandfather's attorney.
Oh, got you. Oh, okay. All right. I missed that. Thank you.
KRS-One and Boogie Down Productions was, I had taken my younger brothers to see them at the Apollo Theater. That's going back in the 80s, like you said. That's going back a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because
he was also there. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say Inner City Broadcasting at that time actually owned the Apollo Theater.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And KRS-One also. I'm sorry. I keep talking over you. No, and I was
That's
just
right,
saying KRS-One. We had also seen them at the celebration they had for Nelson Mandela when he came to New York. At the Yankee Stadium, he was also in attendance and performed there.
Okay. All right. So just trying to bring the audience to a level of understanding for the richness of a community and a human people and their experience on this earth, when we have so much divisiveness and separation presently in our society, that is a common way to say that we have more things in common with each other as human beings than we do in differences. And on that note, I have to say that that's going to be a wrap. And while we're not trying to solve all the problems or answer all the questions, we are trying to get you to rise to a level where you begin to do the research and find out on your own. And on that note, I want to thank our student hosts, Walter Pierce, Val, and all those who called in and are on the line, right? And I want to say that Quest Youth Radio is the best youth radio.
It's the best youth radio.
Thank you, everyone. If you want to shout out, now will be the time. Okay?
Quest is the best.
And on that note, youth radio, that's it. All right, until Saturday, we'll see you. Peace.